Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men.
And this is Mike Zabcik from the same, and you're listening to...
Rebel Radio.
This is Clifton Collins Jr., and you're listening to Rebel Radio.
So the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Frank.
And in studio with us,
this is Brian.
Brian, you potted with us a couple times. It's been a while.
Yeah, I filmed it for Frank one time.
You were like, you got down on your knees and begged me, like, Mark, I want to pod with y'all again. I'll do anything. I'm like, get off your knees. This is really weird.
But you got to bring the Star Wars guy in every once in a while.
And, yes.
So yeah. So welcome Brian back into the show with us, and don't let Frank touch you. He gets kind of weird.
Matt's even weirder, so...
Just... There is that con going on in Florida I told you about this weekend. I'm surprised he's not there.
I thought Frank might be there, too, you know, but...
What con's going on?
In his furry costume.
It involves...
Yeah.
Don't you have a squirrel costume?
I'm not going to make fun of those people, but it's kind of weird.
I will. It's freaking weird.
It's
what if
weird
you showed
me.
Up as Secret Squirrel? No? Is that... You could do that.
Don't give him any ideas.
I know, right? He's thinking about it. He's like, man, I could go in disguise and I can lift her tail.
It makes a whole new meaning to chase his tail.
It's like, man, these are really good ideas Mark and Matt are giving me.
No.
He's taking notes on his phone. You see him?
No, right. No phone. Phone free right now.
Oh, man. Well, welcome to the show. And I am one of anyone who's listening on our new... The new station we're involved in, we stream on Wednesdays from 2 to 4 o'clock Central on WBLZmedia.com's Ironic Radio. And anybody listened to last week, thank you. And anybody who's listening this week, thank you for joining us on this episode. And we hope you enjoy the Rebel Radio Podcast. And go to the RebelRadioPodcast.com for all episodes and your other Rebel Radio needs. And so, what's up, guys? How's your week been?
It's been awesome.
Mark?
Just came back from vacation. Yeah, I was in San Antonio up until yesterday.
Yeah, man, I saw... Dude, okay, you go to San Antonio, right? You're in another city, and y'all eat at Cracker Barrel. A place you can eat here. You're supposed to go to places you can't go anywhere else.
Hey, they were paying. I didn't pay.
You suggest, hey, let's go somewhere we can't go. That's the idea when you go on vacation, right?
Yeah,
you go places you can't go eat anywhere else.
The lady of the Airbnb we rented, too, she even gave us a couple local places to try out. And I'm surprised they didn't want to go anywhere. We literally ate, like, all mainstream the whole time. I think we ate at, you know, we had Pizza Hut. We had Cracker Barrel. We went to another place.
Basically had a boring vacation.
Yeah.
Well, so, see, the thing is some people just aren't adventurous or afraid to try new stuff.
The activities were fun. You know, going down the San Marcos River, we saw a couple of water moccasins there. It was pretty exciting. My son thought that was great.
I can walk over here at the lakes by the house and see water moccasins,
We went down the river was, like, super cold, and we went down some smaller rapids for the kids, and they liked it.
Wait, like, in a boat, or y'all, like, tubing?
Tubing.
Okay.
Float in the river.
Yeah. Wow, okay, you got a little more exciting.
That's why Matt was excited for seeing the snakes, because he thought they were going to come and bite him in the balls.
Dude, I was like...
your woman don't even want to bite your balls, so don't think snakes want to either.
You're right, she's a lot more gentler with them.
You know,
does not bite them.
See, I'm smart. I go up to Dallas and, you know, go try new things. Like, my wife forced me to go eat In-N-Out. Never again. And then we went
I've
to.
Never had it, so I can't say.
There's a 501st guy who owns a restaurant up there. We went and tried out his place. It was pretty good.
Well, we were in Austin, and Mark kept bringing up In-N-Out, and I'm like, well, pretty much all burgers are In-N-Out if you think about it.
It's four choices is all you get at In-N-Out. You get four choices: with cheese, without cheese, a double, or a single, and that's it.
Yeah,
it's nothing too fancy. I'll take my Whataburger any day.
It kind of tasted to like me crap? Like I mean, like, almost kind of like a Sonic burger, but not as good.
True. It was very plain, very dull. The fries weren't crispy and soggy and just nasty.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you guys were like Austin. I've never had In-N-Out, so I can't say. I've heard good and bad on it. But, you know, there's people think good and bad of Whataburger, too.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But even in Austin, there's better burger places than In-N-Out, you know?
So, yeah, I'd have to agree with Mark on that. Yeah. I think if I lived in Austin, I would, like... very rarely go to a Whataburger, even though here I love Whataburger.
In Austin, you have P. Terry's, you have Phil's, you have Dirty Martin's. So many places that are just really
and they're all priced about the same as a Whataburger, if you think about it. And they're better.
But at 2 a.m. when you're leaving the bar, Whataburger always sounds good.
Well, when you're drunk, McDonald's probably sounds good and...
It's either Taco Bell or Whataburger.
I would have
Jack in the Box.
I would have
Jack in the Box tacos.
Yeah. Now that we made everyone hungry listening to this show. So, Ryan, what you been up to, man? How you been?
Just been working on, you know me, I've been working on costumes. I've got 4 approved 501st costumes now, working on number 5.
Man.
It's be nice to have no children and money.
Hey, I do Warhammer 40K, so there's where my money goes.
I've got my Royal Guard, my Imperial Gunner, I've got my TIE Reserve, and my Bridge Crew, and I'm working on the Republic Commander Niner from the video games.
Okay, my question is you have all of these. When do you decide you're going to wear them over the other?
I just decide whatever the troop is. Like, if it's wintertime, I'll wear my guard because it's hot and it's not a summer costume. If it's, like, a long period troop where I'm going to be in costume for a while, I'll wear something easier like my Bridge Crew or my TIE Reserve just because it's a quick, easy costume and it's something that's comfortable.
Really? Because I've seen these things and none of them look cool or comfortable.
Y'all saw me at Comic Palooza in my... Bridge Crew. That's just a jumpsuit. And a hat.
Okay, that one.
That's something you can wear all day long.
How much? Where can I find one of those?
Those?
I want an Imperial one.
Well, y'all can discuss this later on how to get because it still costs money.
Yeah,
they're still about $400 or $500. So
that's not bad.
So just 501st and it up then, basically.
Yeah, and doing a lot of charity stuff too. We're doing our hospital troops, and my wife was involved with a kid who's terminally ill. He's got a spinal condition. Went to his 9th birthday party, and she said that was a wreck. You know, they had like 15 501st show up to it, and it was a really good day. It's just everyone left there in tears and very, very somber. You know, when you've got kids that age and knowing that your kid's got 6 months to live.
Yeah, so we went from hungry to depressed. All right, Frank, bring us back up.
But, y'all all know that's what the 501st does. Stuff like that. I mean,
no, I know.
You do the good with the bad. Like I told you, I was in Dallas for that Timothy Zahn pre-release of the Thrawn, the new Thrawn book. Yeah. So that was really cool. You know, that's a highlight.
But no, I know. It's a good and bad, but they do a lot of great,
Other good Star Wars news for y'all. Mayu was successful on his surgery for his back to help him walk more. I saw the highlights the other day on that.
Yeah, that's good. So, Frank, what you been up to?
Nothing. Literally nothing.
Wow.
Painting, Warhammer stuff. That's about it.
Lifting one cheek and letting one rip, here and there. Pretty much.
He don't even lift a cheek.
I just kind of lean to the side. Just lean.
He just lets it go.
Yeah. I find out what kind of material I'm on for the position I need to be in to get the right sound.
And he likes it when it comes up the front and rattles the sound.
Hell yeah! Who doesn't like that?
Oh, man.
Okay. And, my week's not been that exciting either, I guess. My oldest started football practice, so that's been... It's the grind has begun. Football practice 2 or 3 times a week, and then games will start, then school will start, and then there'll be school and practice. But he's done good. He's toughed it out, man. There's one kid out there crying yesterday morning. Oh, it's so hot, and whining to his mom and other kids. Michael, he don't even complain. He gets out there and goes.
Michael just turns bright red.
He might fuss a little bit when we get in the car, like, man, it was really hot. But overall, he toughs it out and he goes with it and he just goes for it. That's cool that he does. He's not a little. If he was a little whiny, little wuss, I'd probably have to whap him around. And no, I'm just kidding. Like, get out there and tough it out.
I would ask him if I need to buy him that dress. I keep asking him if I need to get him.
There's one kid on his team, man. Last year he whined a lot. Last year too, and it's just like, dude, did your mom need to buy you a dress? That's actually what I was thinking. That's mean of me for a 9-year-old. But I'm just like, at this point, you're 9 years old. It's like none of it's their first year to play football, so you know what you're getting into. Man, don't whine. Just get out there and tough it out, okay? Mm-hmm. There's no crying in a football field. Maybe I'm a little macho when it comes to that, but no. If you legitimately are hurt, okay.
Yeah, that's different.
But, man, you don't whine because it's hot. You get out there and you tough it out.
Yeah, it's Texas.
Yeah.
Wait. I take it back. I whine when it's hot. I just go inside. I don't go and do anything that I can't go and find immediate AC.
Well, you're
really
old.
For.
So, you know. So, I mean,
yeah.
You're old.
You're old.
I am.
I think Frank whines when he's in his furry costume.
Probably.
That's hot.
Hot in that secret squirrel.
It's hot. Now, mine would probably be like a wolf or something. I don't know. I ain't going to do it with no damn squirrels.
A wolf?
He whines, complains because he's getting no action. That's what it is.
That's why those people probably wear that stuff. It's for the action.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Nobody's like unattractive in a furry costume to another furry person.
Okay. My wife, you know, she watches like with that weird stuff on TLC, like Strange Addiction, all that stuff.
Yeah.
There's this lady on there who does pony play. She's like, she literally thinks she's a fucking horse.
I've seen that.
I've seen people like that.
I'm sorry. Like, that show makes me feel for the human race of how stupid some people are. There's a lady eating paint and she realizes she's going to die. She walks into this horse store that sells stuff. And she wants to buy a clip for her mouth, and the guy's like, "Who's it for?" She's like, "Well, it's for me." And he looks at her like, "Holy shit, you done lost your marbles." I'm like, cosplay furry, I know we make fun of it, but you know, whatever. You know, it's part of it. But
I'll make fun of cosplay.
Well, no, we tease about it. We tease about the furries.
No, furries are a whole nother level.
But that's not the level of someone who thinks they're a freaking pony. That's weird.
On that note, there's a competition for puppies in Britain.
Where people act like they're puppies?
Yeah, with the whole puppy suits and the collars and... Yeah, I saw something on Facebook about it.
Someone should show up in a detective costume with a dog head and a cigar.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652, and here's something for the kids.
People want to blame political powers for the world going to shit. No, the human race is just stupid. It's like, let's be puppies.
You know, and what was funny is I realized it's probably, if it wasn't for the 1% of intelligent people in this world moving us forward in progress, that we would all be cavemen still. You know, I'm probably like maybe a 3% of the intelligent population.
Well, I think
the rest kind of fall.
I think that's a good lead into today's movie. And for people who are listening to Rebel Radio Podcast on WBLZ on Ironic Radio, a quick little note about us, and because we kind of just went into it last week.
Yeah,
it's funny that we're streaming on station again because we originally started in 2006 as a streaming radio show, and then we brought it back as a podcast in 2014. So it's kind of come full circle. We're still a podcast, but yet we're streaming on station again, just not live like it was before. And so anyway, we do a featured movie every episode, but we also give you the latest in geek news, comics, video games, whatever, Star Wars news, and things like that. So that's kind of the format of the show every week, and sometimes we ramble on about furries and pony play.
Yes.
So, let's get into today's movie that actually has a lot to say in some ways about today's society and things like that, and that is 1987's Arnold Schwarzenegger film, The Running Man. And, you know, I hadn't watched this in years, and I rewatched it last night, and it's not one of Arnold's better films.
No, it's not.
By any means, but... And it takes a little bit to get going. But once it gets going, it's actually... Once he gets to the game show, it's really good from that moment on. It's just the beginning of it's really, like, awkward. And for people that don't know, it's a film that takes place in 2017 to 2019. And he is framed for a murder of innocent people. And he is put into a confinement camp doing labor, and he escapes. And when he escapes, they capture him. They put him on this game show in which they put contestants through...
Basically Gladiator.
Gladiator through a ringer, and they have to try to survive. And it turns out that no one ever really survived. They fake that these people survive. Mm-hmm. And it's the highest-rated game show on television. It's reality television. And that's basically the movie in a nutshell.
Yeah, fight for your freedom. If you get through everybody, then you get put on some glorious island where,
supposedly,
you know, you have cabana women and, you know, massage chairs, stuff like that.
Hookers and money.
Yes.
The first time, I remember watching this years ago, probably on home video or something, and didn't think much of it, and I hadn't seen it in years. And, you know, it holds up okay, maybe not as good as some of the older movies we've done, but there's parts of it, like, that are really good and parts of it that are really... This is probably the most in-between movie we've done. Like, most movies are pretty high list. We seem to like a lot. This one was all right. Y'all's first experience is ever watching The Running Man?
Yeah, probably like 10 years ago. I was in my like lower 20s, like whenever I saw Running Man, because obviously, you know, you see, if you're trying to get into Schwarzenegger films, you're watching Commando, Predator, Terminator 2, that kind of caliber of movies. This is, like you said, this is kind of mid-pack Arnold film. It actually, you know, it wasn't received well by critics. They thought it was kind of
cheesy
and cheesy. Yes,
cheesy.
they thought that there was no character development to the gladiators.
Which there really wasn't.
There wasn't. But I feel like, you know, I think us as like true believers, you know, I say that as Stan Lee would define it, true believers. Yeah, we don't need a backstory on these guys.
And that's kind of why I looked at it. I didn't look at it, you need a backstory. It's just more they were absolutes. They exist in this world.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. I mean, we're pretty much focused on the one character anyway.
Yeah.
You know, Schwarzenegger's character. Yeah, so it's like we didn't really need to know a lot of the other guys. They were just there
mm-hmm.
to carry the story forward.
It definitely has Arnold's best quote in there. I mean...
No, I actually had quite a few.
Room for my fist because I'm going to ram it into your stomach and rip out your goddamn spine.
Right, and any reuse the I'll be back
yes. line
in it.
Only in the reruns.
Yeah.
A lot of one-liners. In fact, the critics, that's another thing. They're like, we're getting kind of sick of Arnold's one-liners. And I was like, I always wondered. I was like, did people back then, whenever these films were, you know, perceivably more popular than they are now, did people get tired of the Arnold one-liners? And that answered for me. I was like, okay, people started getting tired of them. And yeah. It makes sense because it seems like that was like the most one-liner filled.
Yeah, it did have a lot.
Film. After that, you know, I think the one-liners in Arnold films kind of got spread out, you know.
Nah, I think he still had a bunch of one-liners, like, in every film.
I remember Eraser having a lot of one-liners.
Too. Oh, yeah, Eraser did have a lot.
I'll tell you what, though. It was weird seeing Arnold so young again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's very young. He's probably, right around 39, 40?
Yeah, I think he was late 30s. It was 38, yeah. 39.
Because a lot of people forget, he had a late start to his career because he was a bodybuilder
yep.
and everything. And he was, like,
most of his 20s.
He was about 29, 30 when he made Conan. So he was a little bit... You know, and that's not uncommon in Hollywood. Like, Jeremy Renner, by the time he got a big role in The Hurt Locker and stuff, he was already 31, 32. And sometimes it takes guys to get discovered, and Arnold was one of those guys who spent so much time bodybuilding that he started acting a little bit later than people think he did.
Unless you're Tom Hollands, and then you just get lucky.
Right.
I watched Demolition Man the other day, and I didn't realize that Stallone was 47 in that film.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man, some of the best action stars that have ever passed through Hollywood got a late start. You know, they're like 40 years old in the early 90s.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, it's funny. We didn't do Download This yet because I kind of jumped in the movie. We'll do
Download This. I have another thing for Download This.
We'll do yeah. Download This in a little bit. And I saw Mission Impossible yesterday. I'll talk about it more during Download This. And the same thing with Cruise. I mean, Cruise is 52 years old and still making spectacular action movies.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great film. And I'll talk about it a little more. And you're right. Some of these guys that, if they take care of themselves, like Schwarzenegger and Stallone obviously did because they were bodybuilders, they were able to do these films in their 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm. Shoot, look at The Rock. The Rock's in his, like, 50s now, and he's still going
good. Is he on that movies? Old? Yeah, I thought he was, like, real close.
I think he's late 40s.
Somewhere's in there because I think he retired, like, at 35 from wrestling. Somewhere's in there.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look that up later on.
So, yeah, he
the Rock's still wrestled for a while. We know for sure The Rock's getting up there in age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was y'all's first experience with Running Man?
Last night?
Last night, really?
I appreciate, like, an honest man.
I hadn't watched it before. Like, I've seen a bunch of Schwarzenegger movies, but y'all know me. I'm more Star Wars
yeah.
right?
nerd, so I get around to Arnold every once in a while. But yeah, I watched it for the first time last night, and like I said, I thought it was a gladiator movie.
Yep.
The Code of Gladiators.
Like you know, I remember the early 90s, that TV show, The Gladiators.
Well, this mm-hmm. movie inspired American Gladiators.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it reminded me of.
And The American Rock Gladiators. Is 46.
Okay, 46.
So we know.
Wow.
Mine was probably on cable.
Cable? Yeah.
Yeah, back right when it first hit cable.
It aired on TV yeah. a lot. With Total Recall,
no,
usually.
But I'm talking about like yeah. HBO or Showtime or something like that, whichever one it premiered on.
Okay.
I probably watched it. And I brought up the guy who does the game show is also the guy who did Family Feud.
Mm-hmm.
And he was
Richard Dawson.
Yeah, Richard Dawson was synonymous for trying to, you know, smooch the ladies. And then in this movie, he's like trying to kiss all the ladies. I'm like, here he goes again.
He hams it up fantastically.
And he plays one of the bright spots
in the movie.
Yeah, he is.
He really hams it up, has fun with it. He's kind of sinister
yeah,
too,
he's
in a way.
Cocked, yeah, the whole time.
And like plays this nice guy that everybody loves, but is a total D-bag.
And he you know, here's Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's a huge, like, hulking presence, and he's not afraid to give it right back to him. Like, hey, Freddy, you know, so Dawson does a good job playing it up.
Yeah, part of the very end where he's got his bodyguard, and he thinks that Arnold's done for.
Right.
It's like, I got to do some steroids or something. Yeah.
That's why he won Best Supporting Actor.
Who did?
Richard Dawson.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
For what?
For this movie.
Oh, he won Best... He won an Oscar for this?
No, I don't know if it was an Oscar, but he did win an award.
I don't think he won an Oscar for this.
But he did win an award. It might have been just a movie award.
Like
a
sci-fi award or something. But, you know, overall, though, I like the look of the film. Like, it's oddly directed because they had trouble getting a director. They went through, like, four directors before they decided on Paul Glauscher, I think is how you say his name, who ended up directing it. And he was a television director. And him and Arnold clashed a lot on set. Arnold felt like he didn't know how to make movies, that he felt that he was just a television director. He was trying to shoot it like a TV show. And
this movie would almost feel like it had to be shot like a TV
and
show.
And that's what Glauscher, I hope I'm saying his name right.
Glazer.
That's what he said over the years. He said that, like, well, that was the idea. He goes, I read the script and I felt like it was supposed to be a TV show, so he tried to make it look like a TV show.
Because you're Arnold, on a TV show.
Arnold wanted it to look bigger and better coming off of the movies he had done. He wanted it to look like a big, huge sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
But I think the director tried to make it a tighter, more intense feel to it by making it feel like a TV show.
It was also because it was low budget.
And he only had like 4 days to prepare. He literally got hired like 4 days before the film started. And they had done some principal photography already. So he kind of got brought in and was like, got thrown into making this movie.
Yeah, originally it started off with the same director who did Under Siege and the Fugitive, which are both really good films. But he was like,
Rob Cohen.
Yeah. Well into production, he was like $8 million over budget and way behind schedule. And they brought in Glazer, and he did a really good job. In fact, Arnold congratulated him, said, hey, I was wrong. Yeah. You know, and he went back and said, hey, he was a great fit for the film. Glazer, if the name, resonates with you, it's probably because he played Starsky in Starsky and Hutch, and that's... And that's where he got his start.
Would I be jumping the gun to bring up the underlying story of this movie?
A Stephen King novel?
No.
Oh.
Well, it is based on a Stephen King novel.
Right.
Through his pseudonym, Richard Bachman.
Yeah.
Right, but also I think the underlying part of the story is the ability of the media and the press to manipulate the truth to make us believe what they want us to believe through perception.
That's true.
If you look at it, they lied and they edited the footage to make him look guilty for the killing of the people. Then they edited footage that he killed two people at an airport trying to escape.
Yeah.
And none of that was the truth.
Trying to hype him up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I think they were just doing that to fatten him up as a good target for the game show host. And they just wanted a lot more people mad at him. And then making it to where this girl, she's like, oh, they're even saying that I'm your girlfriend. And he's like, well, we can settle that right now. There's the camera. I'll strangle you right in front of it. So, there is a lot of truth bending in that, and especially in the last scene where he doesn't even really technically fight Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
Jesse Ventura.
Right, yeah, I forgot. There's two former governors in this movie.
Yeah.
Arnold and, of course, Jesse Ventura. And Ventura actually, he's got to be wearing a hairpiece in this, huh?
He's got to be,
Was he bald,
man,
at this point?
I don't know.
Because it just looks funky. He comes on the screen, I'm like, wow, he looks really weird and funny. And he's another character they put in there, and he really hams up his part.
Yeah,
he has fun with it. He's a former, what do they call the gladiators? Stalkers.
Yes.
Yeah. He's a former stalker that was like a champion, and now he's retired and runs like a
fitness program.
Yeah. Fitness program.
Like TV show.
Yeah. And
or fitness.
Captain Freedom.
And they bring him in after Ben, which is Arnold's character, kills two of the stalkers. They bring him in and like fake his death of killing Arnold's character.
Yeah.
And so he never really fights him. And it would have been cool to have like an Arnold versus Jesse Ventura fight.
That really
would, technically,
man.
We did.
A computer generated, quote unquote,
right,
fight.
Then that scene where you got the girls dancing looks just so 80s. You can tell.
Well, yeah. That's the one thing about a lot of 80s science fiction movies. Like, there's this underlying theme in some 80s sci-fi movies. You had your exceptions, like James Cameron's Aliens is not like it. But, like, they couldn't get out of that 70s psychedelic kind of feel to them.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. they like Escape from New York, which we did, still had a 70s feel. This movie is made in 87, and it still had, like, that weird psychedelic
early 80s, yeah, it's late like, 70s, early 80s like with whole, the tight, you right, know, like...
this whole dance sequence is bizarre.
But that whole dance here. Sequence has Paula Abdul like a sort of like a showgirls kind of thing, too, to it. Like, you're yeah. the Vegas showgirls kind of
and,
thing.
And it's yeah. almost like you have... It doesn't really do anything for the movie. It's almost like you have to be kind of high watching it, because it's just kind of bizarre. And it,
maybe that's why people liked it so much.
Maybe so.
What I was thinking when I was watching is when Arnold was coming out mm-hmm. and everything, and then like the girls are grabbing onto him and dancing around him. I'm thinking to myself, half of these women are probably there to do their job, and the others are probably like, hey, here's a big Hollywood star. I'm going to show him what I got. Right. Maybe he'll like call me up to his dressing room after the shoot.
Yeah. And then there's this whole sequence, too, where like they put these drugs in him to prep him, but they never really explain why.
Yeah,
it's just sort of like this doctor's like, oh, he's ready to go.
Yeah, they just give him a bunch of shots. Like,
what did you do to him?
Yeah,
there's no like, explanation as to why they what they did to him.
They
to go
put that
the,
mouthpiece in him. And you're
yeah,
like, what the
and
hell?
They're shocking him and all this, but like, there's no like.
What was the point for it?
What was it all for?
It was like that scene wasn't even necessary.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you programmed him for what? You're already gonna force him to go into this game show. Mm-hmm. What more do you need to do?
And then you got that lawyer reading off that waiver to him.
Yeah,
I was like, it didn't like, even explain it, what the hell the waiver.
And he just stabs a dude in the back.
No, he's reading the waiver. But it was like, really, what's the point of the waiver? Y'all right. are going to try to kill him anyway.
So that whole middle sequence, and that's where the movie, is the flaw in the movie is the first 30 minutes. It's like, it's really weird how you're just sort of introduced to Arnold. He's like this cop. They give you a little narration at the beginning explaining the future, the economy has crashed.
It's a mini crawl.
Yeah, the economy has crashed. People aren't happy. But he's this police officer, and all of a sudden, he's being told to shoot these people, but he doesn't do it. It's just sort of, you're thrown into this movie, And I was thinking, like, when we did Buckaroo Banzai, you're thrown into that world, but yet the world is explained to you in a lot of ways, and you understand the world. Mm-hmm. But this is just sort of like, okay, wait, what's going on exactly?
It's confusing, because one minute Arnold's on a helicopter, next thing you know, he's in a
confinement camp.
Like, some radioactive, like, they're digging up, like, some Monty Python body kind
right.
of thing.
In 2 years
of I think it's another that, like, the extreme thing of the 1%, 99%. It's like the 1% are behind, like, a protected wall, the 1%. And the wealthy, and then you have all the 99% out in the streets, like trying to fight to survive, and that's who he was ordered to shoot down because they were rioting for food and stuff.
And then all of a sudden, it jumps 2 years later, and he, like you say, he's in this camp, and he escapes, and even the whole escape sequence is kind of just a little bizarre because, like, if they're using felons for the show anyway, couldn't mm-hmm. they have just gotten him? So they have this whole elaborate escape scene for no reason. It's funny because I was thinking as I'm watching this, if they made this movie today, you wouldn't even have the whole opening. You would have a short opening showing that he was framed, and then you would have him in jail. Then the game show guy would pick him.
No, but remember, he couldn't use him because he was former. Because he was a cop.
Oh,
he had to get special permission.
That's right.
Oh,
but you still could have done that.
The other thing though is. When they're escaping, they all had those little monitors on. Why couldn't you just remotely trigger them and just go boom?
Right.
And that'd be the end of every single one.
Yeah, before they even got to the guy who took it off of them.
Yeah. You
figure they would just sent out signals popping all their heads.
Exactly. Like that one guy who got his head popped off.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So that was...
That's what I would do. I was just going to hit the self-destruct and just pop their
head
off.
See, I was thinking that, too, when I was watching. I was like, okay, they escaped. Why could they just send out a signal to, like, blow all their heads up before they get it off?
You know those guys who they were fighting with before they were trying to escape? Who had the other code thing?
Why didn't they just activate them?
Yeah, just said deactivate or self-destruct. Yeah,
exactly. You would think they would have that on there.
That's what I would have done. I just would have popped everyone's heads off. That would be the end of the movie.
Yeah.
I guess that's why I'm not a director.
But then once the movie does get to the game show and they put him in those little roller coaster shoots down, the movie actually really gets going then. And then from this point on, the movie picks up as a really pretty decent action piece for a late 80s film.
Yeah.
You know, and it definitely takes a page from some other sci-fi movies there, some Mad Max influence. Did Total Recall come out before this, or was it the same year, wasn't it? Or no, Total Recall is the next year.
The next year.
You know, and so definitely some influence from kind of a 70s and 80s sci-fi film with the elaborate stalker characters, one with a
fireball,
a bladed hockey stick, a guy with electric lights, and he was a real opera singer.
Dynamo, yeah.
Yeah, and he actually, like, because he was big overweight, he died like a year later, actually, making this movie.
32 years old, and then, heart attack.
And then Fireball, of course, was a... And so these really kind of elaborate, bizarre characters, but at the same time, kind of cool in some ways.
Yeah, it's kind of cool how Fireball goes out, though. With the flair?
Yeah.
And then whenever...
Does he give a one-liner with a flair, too?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, there's some one-liner he says.
Dawson sends Jim Brown in, he says, "There goes our leading rusher."
Right. And it's a throwback to he was the NFL's leading rusher at the time.
I think it was something like Wood Fireball goes, check these lights out or see these lights or something.
Yeah. A lot of one-liners in this movie. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, he kills Fireball, who people thought that he had been killed before because I guess they always fake the winners. And that was a part, too. It was kind of weird. I guess television watchers just assumed it was a new Fireball every time.
Yeah.
Even though they had always faked that, people had... Well, I guess they didn't kill him. I guess they got past him or something.
Yeah.
It's how it's explained. So they faked these deaths. But then, of course, they defeat him and they find all the corpses and stuff of all the former running men that had been killed before. And then they create a video or they broadcast the video.
I was wondering how they got the hold of a video of that.
Right. It's just like they got a video showing that all these people are dead and they broadcast the world and show that the running man is fake. And of course he has the end there where he gets Richard Dawson, puts him in there and sends him down the chute and he
blows up
or whatever, and ends. But the last 40 hours of the movie is probably the better part of the movie. And if they could just fix the first 30 minutes of the movie, I think you would have had, and on IMDb, this gets a 6.7. I think that's a little high for it, but I think if you had fixed the first 30 minutes of the movie, maybe it would have been a 7 or a 7.5 movie.
Because that's a D. That's a D rating. So, passable. Barely passing as a good movie. So,
you got to look at it. Did you enjoy it? Did you have fun watching it?
It's entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
It's not something I'd watch all the time.
Right, but you still was entertained watching it.
And people also forget, in 87, Arnold was becoming enormously popular. He hadn't had Terminator 2 yet. He did Terminator and Conan and Commando, and he was starting to become this big star. And Hollywood was really pushing him at this point. Was Terminator 1 his biggest hit at this point?
I think so.
I mean, you're our Arnold expert, Matt. Total Recall, I know, was a huge hit, but it didn't come out until the next year.
Yeah, it had to have been Terminator because you had Predator.
Predator came out the same year as this.
Yeah.
And Predator was a big hit, so maybe,
You could argue either one of those, so... It definitely wasn't Hercules in New York.
No.
So, even though I watched that movie the other day and sat through of it. Yes, I did. I was like, Jackie's like, "Why are you watching this film? It's horrible." I was like, "I want to see him fight the fake bear."
But when I start, Mary's the same way with old movies. When I started The Running Man last night, she didn't make it 2 minutes. She's like, "This is dumb already." She does. But any other things that people need to know about The Running Man that we can think of? Well, other than went through a lot of directors,
the composer, I forget his name, but it was the same composer that did Beverly Hills Cop and Top Gun. And this is actually.
Wait,
this
really?
Yeah.
I didn't get no Beverly Hills music out of this one. I didn't get it done.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun. And he also did the Kevin Smith movie with Bruce Willis, Cop Out. I think it's Cop Out. He did the composing for that film. He's a good composer.
See?
I'm glad that they went with an electronic score versus an orchestra.
Did you say through the credits?
Through the credits?
Yeah, did you watch it all the way through the credits?
No.
I towards the very end of their credits, they do like a commercial for The Running Man and like all these different companies that sponsor it and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Really? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
That's funny.
It's like a sponsorship thing.
Well, and Arnold, whenever he ran for governor, this was actually the name of the vehicle that he would ride around in, The Running Man, who was running for governor. And so he reused it then. I remember that. The people that were considered for this film, Christopher Reeve spent two weeks on set.
Really?
And Christopher Reeve was going to be the running man, but...
Dolph Lundgren was considered, too.
Dolph Lundgren and Patrick Swayze, but...
Wait, Christopher Reeve?
Christopher Reeve, yeah, he spent 2 weeks on set, and this was... I think that if Christopher Reeve did this film, this could have been a turnaround for Christopher Reeve, and he wouldn't have that Superman curse.
Yeah, Reeve had a hard time in the 80s getting out of being typecast Superman. He never got...
But really, when they had to call that The Rolling Man?
The Rolling Man. That's funny, Frank.
That's not funny.
He
dropped out of the movie because he was offered so much money for Superman 4 that he had to take Superman 4.
Canon Films threw loads of money at him for that awful... third piece of a movie Superman 4.
Hey, at least he got paid for it.
Yeah.
You know.
But I think this...
Did he buy that horse with it?
Frank. What the heck, man?
So
I had to keep that wheel rolling.
This is as bad as dead baby jokes, man.
Yeah.
Just stop.
And George Cosmotis almost directed the film, too, who went on... He made Tombstone, even though...
Oh, yeah.
If you believe it, Kurt Russell directed most of Tombstone, but that's a whole other story one day. And he might have been an interesting director for this project, too.
Yeah, yeah, he would have.
But overall, a relatively entertaining Arnold film. Not something I'd watch again. There's probably several other Arnold films that I would watch over this. And I want to get back a little bit to, like I said, I think if this was made today, it would be much more hyperkinetic and faster. I think you would have a very shorter opening sequence where you just introduce this character, you show these frames, then you immediately get to the game show. I think it would be obviously
more action,
bigger production values. It would be more gorier, bigger arena. Yeah, I mean, I don't know about maybe gorier.
Yes,
maybe.
Think about movies.
They could get Michael Bay to do it, and it'd be more explosions for no reason.
At the time, this was considered the most violent film ever. Most critics were like, "This is the most violent film I've ever seen."
Really?
But by today's standards, you're like,
"What?
This is nothing."
But even this is like TV PG.
But even by 80s standards, RoboCop had been out. It came out in 87. I mean, The French Connection is pretty violent. So it's Dirty Harry. And those movies came out in the 70s.
Yeah, I don't even know
what they considered.
I think they would be like with that chainsaw scene where that dude gets split in half. They would have showed more of split in half and more guts and
part
gore.
Of me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make it part of you.
But overall, a good entertaining movie. And if you haven't watched it, it's on Amazon Prime and Hulu right now. Check it out. It's a good little watch.
Just on Hulu, not on Prime.
I watched it on Prime.
I watched it on Prime.
I couldn't find it on Prime.
Yeah, I watched mine on Prime.
Just don't
Friday.
Know how to search.
Yeah.
You need a nifty little Alexa device that says "Find the Running Man." That's all you need.
Or you just type it in.
Yeah, I tried typing it.
But before we get into download this, you know, Arnold is we're big fans of Arnold, and Matt, you're a huge fan, and of course he does his Arnold with Comics for us on YouTube, and we appreciate Arnold doing that for us. So if there was an Arnold movie that could have a sequel that never got made, what would it be to you guys? Like, what's that one sequel for an Arnold film you never got?
True Lies.
Matt!
Which was rumored for a sequel for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, mainly it's because I just wanted to see her and
Jamie Lee Curtis again,
and
Eliza Dushku.
Yeah,
yeah, an older Eliza Dushku, hopefully, than that time. Yeah,
so yeah,
but yeah, I really like True Lies. I felt
Me
like
too.
It was a little bit of everything. I had some comedy, I had some Arnold one liners, I had some good action, a good story. You know, there's
I think they truly missed out
there.
On.
Yeah.
Making that at least two or three films out of that. I mean, you had
a
good
sequel.
You had a good dynamic
for that.
Huh?
Blame James Cameron for that. He decided to make Titanic, which took him 3 years of his life.
But they could have passed that on to another director.
He was like, "I'm done directing for a while. I'm going to make documentaries." You know?
But they could have passed that on to another director.
And then he did Avatar. Yeah.
And now Avatar 2.
Do you have one, Brian, you can think of off the top of your head?
No.
For me, it's Predator. I always wanted a proper Predator sequel with Arnold in it.
I have to agree on that one.
And I enjoyed Predator 2 for what it was. And even Predators was okay, but I always wanted a really good Predator sequel with Arnold where he came back and he's like, "I've been through this before," and he has to do it again. And
where he actually knew who they were and took them on.
Yeah, and I
just
felt
wait
that
two more years, man. They're gonna do it.
Alien versus Predator.
I felt that they really missed. And I know Shane Black's The Predator is coming out in September. He says that there is a callback to Arnold in it. So, but Arnold isn't in the film. But still, it's still not the same. A callback as to doing a proper film, you know, and. You know, and
you
that's
never
just
know.
My
there could be an Arnold cameo in it.
I mean, I'd be surprised, but you know, you never know. They could do it at the last minute, kind of thing, and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for everyone who saw the Solo movie, look who was in that one that no one knew about.
So my thing is, I also said I sent y'all a text saying about what your favorite Arnold film is besides Terminator, and I'm guessing y'all are both thinking True Lies. Also.
Yes.
Yeah, we're both thinking True Lies.
See, Predator. Mine's Predator. I think Predator's
No,
awesome.
I like Predator. I just like the dynamic with Jamie Lee Curtis and
with the Predator coming out in September, we might be doing Predator before you know it here pretty soon. So, you know, so that's it. Any final thoughts on The Running Man before we move on to news and download this and everything?
No, solid film. Could have been a great film, but still entertaining today.
I agree.
just go in it and realize that it's just cheesy action.
It's definitely got an 80s cheesy feel to it.
Yeah.
Like I said, you could see the beginnings of Arnold's career and where he was fixing to really break out. He was great in Terminator, and Predator was awesome. And this was kind of maybe, you know, this could have been a studio movie that he owed the studio because of doing Predator and Terminator.
Real quick, Mark, we know Matt. So how long do you think it's going to be before he, like, looks up and tries to find the jumpsuit that Arnold was wearing and buy it?
I hope not.
They go to Comic Palooza or something.
They'll tuck a sock in there.
Yeah. I think you have to tuck more than just a sock in there.
I know a few people who could get that made for you.
Put a roll of paper towels in there.
Yeah. But remember, he was a bodybuilder, so I don't think you really have to, you know, steroids and all that. There's some shrinkage.
Let's not talk about genitals.
So, we normally do download this at the beginning of the show, but I sort of jumped into the movie today. It was my own fault as the host. I was like, let's just talk about the movie. But so, what have you guys downloaded, streamed, or watched lately this past week?
So, my sister gave Jake, my oldest, a 3DS a few years ago, and he hasn't really played it a whole lot until as of late. Whenever I started giving him games for Christmas, like Goosebumps and Thor, and... I realized she had Zelda Ocarina of Time on there.
Holy
crap.
The
N64 version.
Damn.
Which was one of my favorite games on N64.
Be like, boy, this is mine for a while.
And I played it this whole weekend, and now I'm grown-up Link, and I'm in the Forest Temple. I beat Phantom Ganondorf, and now I got to go to another temple and start kicking ass. I've had so much fun playing it. Jackie's been pissed because I've been ignoring the shit out of her. And she's like, I want you to play with my hair. And I'm like,
what?
I'm busy right now.
What?
Fighting Phantom Ganondorf. She's like, are you serious? And I was like, dude, look at this guy. Check it out. I was like, you have to repel his blasts back at him with your spin attack. And she's like, you're serious right now. This is what you're doing instead of giving me attention. I'm like, yes, this
wait,
is what
wait,
I'm doing.
Wait, wait. Let's go back to this hair thing. What do you get out of playing with her hair?
Well, I think the idea is it leads into
something
else.
Yeah.
Okay, that's when you put the game down,
Matt.
She gave
it to me yesterday. I'm okay for a few days.
In your case, probably a few months.
That's Frank's case. He gets it once a year and he's okay.
Boy, I get more in a week than these two get in a year. So
but your furries doesn't count, Frank.
It doesn't count.
Nah, but I ain't worried about the furries. Yeah.
So just play Nintendo DS.
Yeah, just play Nintendo DS.
Brian, you watched, download, streamed, or anything this week?
Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yes. Every time I turn on my PS4, that's what Brian's playing.
GTA 5. I've actually been playing the online stuff with GTA 5, and it's a lot of fun because you start off with nothing, then you're building a criminal empire, and you've got like... You know, I've got, like, my Coke farm and my weed house and
of course, I can't say much. All I play is baseball on my PS4 lately. Nice.
But, yeah, I'm sitting there, like, I've got my big club where I'm laundering all my counterfeit money, and it's really fun. So, yeah, Grand Theft Auto 5. That's what I'm awesome. Playing. Frank? And that's not a game for kids, by the way.
No.
All I did was got my hands on the two free downloads for the PlayStation 4 for this month, and... Really, all I watched was Infinity War off of your Plex account. You know, thanks again for that. You know,
I came home Wednesday because it was I worked. It was my birthday, and I watched Transformers the movie. The
animated movie. How old are you?
It doesn't matter. Okay,
old as dirt.
We went over this last week.
I know that's why I'm bringing it up.
You know what? He's 18 with 23 years of experience. That's how old he is.
That's right.
I'm just doing what most 18-year-olds do. So with lots of experience, exactly.
I watched Transformers, the animated movie, this week.
Why do you think one arm's bigger than the other?
Speaking of Christopher Reeve, I watched Superman 2, the Donner Cut.
Yes.
I rewatched that the other day. It felt like there was something else I watched, but that's basically what
Neo
I watched
before
week.
Zod.
Yeah, Superman 2 is still so solid.
I love it.
It's probably... As good as Superman 1 is, Superman 2 is probably better.
Whenever he goes back into that diner and he beats the shit out of that guy, fuck yeah.
And even the Richard Lester cut, as much as people make fun of where he pulls off the thing off the suit, it's kind of silly.
Yeah.
Even the Lester cut is really good. And the Donner cut, that scene's not in the Donner cut. It takes out some of that. The Donner cut's a little tighter. It's about 15 minutes shorter. Mm-hmm. So it ties up the movie. But the whole scene at the end in downtown Metropolis is fantastic. It's as good as some of the scenes in today's superhero films.
Yeah.
And then yesterday I went and saw Mission Impossible Fallout, which is excellent. That series
keeps spoil alert.
Getting better. This is probably the best one they've done. I mean, it is, and it starts from the beginning and it doesn't let up. It is solid action. There is some Tom Cruise running.
Yes. You know,
and, he likes to run. But he likes to do lots of running.
I tell you, though, Cruise, man, continues to just have this. People like to make fun of him, but he's had a remarkable career. He really cares about the movies he made. I was looking. I didn't realize how much he is involved as a producer. He's not just a name. He handpicked Henry Cavill for the role. He handpicked the girl that plays the broker in the movie. And he's hands-on. He goes and finds these people. Like, he was going to make The Man from U.N.C.L.E. a few years ago, but he had to back out because of his commitment to Rogue Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he knew Henry Cavill took the role, he wanted to work with him. So Cruise, you know, people can say what they want about him and his Scientology, whatever, but he really cares about making great films for people, and he really is a people's actor in a lot of ways. And Mission Impossible Fallout was excellent. Highly recommended to go see it. You know, I'm not a big fan of Rotten Tomatoes, but when you see the commercials that say 97%, it's earned its 97%. It is really good.
Legit.
Probably, honestly, I know Infinity War gets a lot of love this summer. This is probably right up there. It's the top two movies I've seen this summer.
Wow.
I mean, it's really good. All right, well, let's get into some news briefs before we preview next week's movie and get out of here today. Star Trek IV is running into some problems, man.
Oh,
Chris Pine and Chris Hemsworth both backed out because of money negotiation problems. Is this the death of the Kelvin Star Trek universe, as they call it? Or is Paramount going to have to reboot again? Or maybe they just need to back out, get cooler heads, and maybe they'll come together. You know,
I hope they're able to bring them both in and maybe resolve what's going on between them. Because Chris Pine, man, it just wouldn't be the same without Chris.
Yeah, I really have enjoyed the new cast so far. I mean, Star Trek Beyond wasn't as good as the other two, but it was still entertaining. And I just don't want, but that's the thing, I don't want him to go out on Star Trek Beyond. I'd like to see a really good finale if it's going to be this group's last group of movies, because I love Carl Urban as Bones. Our girl, Gamora, I can't think of her name.
Zoe Saldana
as Uhura. I mean, just a really good cast they put together. And when you first watched Abrams' first Star Trek, you weren't sure because you were grown up with these other characters, but you've really come to accept them, and they're really good in the role. Zachary Quinto is great as Spock. So I hope that they're able to work this out.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. Do you think Star Trek could be a little bit more successful than Star Wars in one-offs? I mean, they're kind of like one for one. Do you think they would do better?
No, because I think Star Wars is, as we've talked many times on the show before, it's its own entity. It's just, it's up here, and then there's everything else. And Star Trek has had numerous chances with some really great films to become that big. But Star Trek is still, unfortunately, your granddad's sci-fi. Yeah. And it just doesn't have that cross-generation appeal that Star Wars does.
But I think that's why it would be good if they just did, like, side stories for it. Because it doesn't have that same expectation as Star Wars.
I think that's what they have the television stuff for. But Star Trek, though, the idea, though, is it works as a crew. I mean, I don't think you want a solo movie. Nobody wants to watch a movie about Spock. The whole idea
I mean, like a whole different... Not an Enterprise, per se, but a different starship.
They tried that, and it failed miserably.
With what?
So, the please Star do tell us.
Didn't they do, like, Voyagers and all those different runoffs? Well, yeah, they've
done different. But I'm talking about, like, a movie. Yeah.
But
I'm talking about a one-step movie.
Still,
actually, Voyager was very successful.
I don't know. I think Star Trek, though, people want to go see. And the Generations movies weren't highly successful, you know.
Yeah.
People like the original cast. And Abrams' reboots have been very successful so far. I think Star Trek Into Darkness, I think, was the highest grossing Trek movie so far. So there has been that amount of success. And I think that they're on the right path. I just think they need to continue with this cast, and hopefully we get one more made from these guys. So we'll see what they do. If I can read my own... Oh, yeah. Can't read my own handwriting. Ruby Rose is cast as CW's Batwoman.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's crazy because they've gotten a lot of really good press for this. Actually casting a lesbian actress as a lesbian character. Bravo to CW for doing that, you know, because there's been a lot of stuff in the news lately about them, you know, whitewashing actors or whatever, or casting Scarlett Johansson back down the movie because she was going to play a transgender in the transgender community. It's like, why can't you cast a transgender? So Scarlett just backed out. So bravo to CW for doing this and having the gonads to do it, because Ruby Rose was fantastic in John Wick 2. I think she can be really good. I think she can be a good Batwoman.
She's already had to shut down her Twitter.
Yeah, she had to shut down Twitter because people are assholes. You know, it's just like, God damn it, man. If you don't have something nice to say to people, just don't say it.
Where did I know that name from?
Huh? She was in Orange is the New Black.
Yeah. That's
she's a really good young actress. She really is.
Okay, so hot, so, too.
Yeah.
So Batwoman is a lesbian in the comic books.
Right.
So why do you care if a lesbian plays the role?
Well, no, I know, and that's the thing.
So why don't watch it. If you don't like lesbians, then don't watch it. But don't be an asshole to her. It's because
people get behind the internet and they think they're tough.
Yeah. Everyone thinks that the internet's real, too.
Right, and that you can say whatever you want. And you can't, people. You can't say whatever you want.
Hey, look at Jay and Silent Bob.
We just went through this with...
James Gunn.
James Gunn with Marie Tran, the girl who plays Rose in The Last Jedi. And it's just, come on, people, man, grow up. You know, stop harassing people on the internet. You know, and it's unfortunate that young actors and actresses who try to be a part of the internet and through Twitter and stuff to interact with their fans to make it themselves more human and be a part of their community can't because of a small community of people that are just jerks. And it's unfortunate. But you know what? I'm going to watch the shit out of this. I think Ruby Rose's Batwoman's a great idea, and I love the Batman universe, even though Batman's not going to be in it. I'm in on this show. The CW's done some good stuff. You know, I've enjoyed The Flash. Parts of Arrow are good. So, hey, Ruby Rose, go for it, man. I hope you bring us a great Batwoman.
No, don't get me wrong. I won't watch it because I've pretty much cut myself down to The Flash. I just quit watching a lot of these shows. Well,
I really like her action sequences in John Wick 2. And seeing as Batwoman does use firearms, I'm excited to see what she does.
Yeah, I just really, I'm starting to limit.
Orange is the new black.
Yeah. We're going to stay in D.C. for a minute. You know, they're making this Birds of Prey movie with Harley Quinn and other characters. And I don't know, we'll see. I mean, Harley Quinn's arguably a very popular character, and Margot Robbie was great in Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. I guess Black Mask is going to be the bad guy. And, you know, that's kind of cool. I always wanted him to make a Batman movie with Black Mask. Or at least, I always thought that Black Mask could have worked well in The Dark Knight Rises as, like, a lieutenant of Bane's or something.
Yeah.
So, and I know that Nolan had talked about it at one point about possibly doing, you know, something like that. So, we'll see. You know, I think this could be a really cool... Brian, show me some of his film. Maybe lose my train of thought there for a minute. I think it could be a cool villain, something we haven't seen in the Batman universe before. Yeah, and if, see a Black Mask on screen.
If we're getting Black Mask, then does that mean we get the Red Hood?
If possible.
I think a lot of people, they want the Red Hood. I mean, they saw that Robin costume all written over. They think that, you know, Joker hit him with the crowbar multiple times.
Right.
And maybe he ended up in the Lazarus pit. So that would have been cool.
And the last bit of news we have is the Star Wars TV show. Jon Favreau announced that the budget is $100 million for 10 episodes. That sounds like a lot, but that's $10 million an episode.
Which one?
And it's a Star Wars.
The live-action TV show. It's coming to the Disney streaming service.
Well, actually, I just saw something on that right now, that Disney doesn't have the rights to Star Wars for their streaming service. Came out yesterday. No.
That's for the movies.
No, it says Disney's streaming service to launch late 2019, likely without Star Wars rights in general.
Yeah, for the original movies. No, I read that story, too. This is their TV show they're doing, Disney's making, And Jon Favreau's doing. And, you know, $10 million seems like a lot, but it's not. Because, you know, Clone Wars, the animated series, costs like $3 million. The Flash with the CW costs about $4 million an episode. It's one. Game of Thrones is like $8 million an episode. So $10 million for Star Wars really isn't unreasonable, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're in the writing process now. Jon Favreau says casting is going to start real soon. A lot of rumors going around that it's going to involve a lot of Mandalore stuff and everything. And
that would be awesome to see some Mandalores finally.
And he did say it takes place 6 years after Return of the Jedi, which is, I think it's kind of cool because, man, we've had a lot of prequel stuff. Let's get something in the post-Jedi era. You know,
have they casted anybody?
Not yet. Nothing
official. Speaking of Star Wars news, I read on here that... they're talking about using some of the unused footage from Last Jedi for Carrie Fisher.
That's 2 weeks old, dude. That's old news, man. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, Brian.
Talk about Jeremy Bullock retiring finally?
Well, Robert Redford retired this week. Nobody even really noticed it.
That's true.
Actors retire all the time.
But Stan Lee retired from
doing autographs this week.
Jeremy Bullock is a huge name in the Star Wars community.
Stan Lee retired from autographs? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, his health was getting bad even when he was here at Comic Palooza.
That's 2 weeks ago. A couple years ago. Fisherman. Yeah, I get caught up with the times, Brian.
I hope
I can tell you haven't listened to the Rebel Radio podcast lately.
I've been slacking.
Sebastian Stan looks so much like Mark Hamill.
He was in town Thursday.
He came early.
Because of the pandemic.
Well, yeah, and we were going to talk about that in a minute.
That's why he was in town, because he's shooting a movie during pandemic and he came early for the fans.
I know. Slow down.
I guess we're in the pandemic talk right now.
Let's go for it.
The next movie we are going to do on the Rebel Radio podcast because of the pandemic tour is The Boondock Saint.
A on the streets of Boston.
This was no gangland assassination.
It was way too sloppy. Something went wrong here.
An FBI agent is on a case.
All the lowlifes in the quiet city of Boston start dropping dead, and you think it's unrelated.
They're all bad guys. Now they're all dead bad guys.
The victims are the mob.
What we have here, gentlemen, is the beginning of the first international mob war.
And the hitmen think they're on a mission from God.
Anybody you think is evil, don't you think that's a little weird, a little psycho?
Sort of like 7-Eleven. We're not always doing business, but we're always open.
That is nice and put.
It was two shooters.
Ben, freaking tasty.
This guy's very sharp. He hasn't figured us out yet, he will.
All we know is what we found out from the neighbors. And the general consensus is,
they're angels.
Amen.
In a place where the violent have the power.
Destroy all that which is evil, so that which is good may flourish.
One lawman doesn't know whether to catch the killers.
I believe what they do is necessary.
Or join them.
All the things I wish I could do, these guys are doing.
With every breath, we shall hunt them down.
Each day, we will spill their blood.
There was a firefight!
So, the Boondock Saints, man, that's a really cool indie film. Something that I wanted to do maybe down the line, but we're going to bring it in early. And the reason why is because the Rebel Radio Podcast is covering the Fandemic Tour, as Brian, a couple minutes ago, just decided to go ahead and jump ahead.
And
Sebastian Stan, who played the Winter Soldier, was in town this week here in Houston doing a signing because he may still be at the Fandemic Tour, but he wasn't sure. So, as a gesture of good faith, he flew into town for one day, signed everyone that bought autographs already.
And did pictures and all that.
And pictures, which was really cool of him to do. Because so many actors just cancel, and they say, fuck it, I'm not coming.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was really nice that he did that. And he still may show up that weekend, he said. He just doesn't know yet because of his filming schedule. And so that was really cool. So, the Fandemic Tour, the Boondock Saints are going to be there. Norman Reedus, Sean Patrick Flannery, and David De La Rocca are all going to be there. So we decided, let's go ahead and do this movie, and we'll talk about the Fandemic Tour next week and who's going to be at it.
Is Ron Jeremy in that movie?
Ron Jeremy's in the Boondock Saints.
Yes.
And Boondock Saints is a really cool flick, which it's probably no stranger. Anybody who listens to this show, they probably all heard it. Y'all's quick thoughts on the Boondock Saints, a little preview.
It was William Dafoe. I really like William
Dafoe. One of the best roles he's ever played.
Yeah. I was shielded from seeing this movie because I grew up during Columbine. I knew William Dafoe as the Green Goblin. And when I saw this movie, I'm like, wow, this really shows what William Dafoe can do. I'm excited to talk about this movie next week.
It's a classic. If you haven't seen it, you have to see it.
Unfortunately, the sequel wasn't a classic.
But no, right.
The sequel wasn't. We don't talk about, but this movie alone is one of
first time
movies.
I watched this, we could talk about it, it was with Mark. And one of the open sequences had me hooked on this movie. When we started watching, he was like, "Frank, you gotta watch this movie." You know, and so I watched it, and I was like, "Yep, one of my favorite, like, I guess an indie style type film or whatever."
It found its way through home video and the internet. Yeah, yeah.
One of my favorite characters is the bartender with a stuttering problem.
Yes,
and
his joke.
Well, let's not talk too much about it because it's on episode on top of this one.
But a good fun action movie. A good cult status movie. So it'll be fun next week talking about the Boondock Saints and Fandemic Tour. We'll preview that. Comic-Con is coming to Houston September 16th, 17th, and 18th. And we will have some coverage from there. We don't know how we're going to work it out. We're not doing any kind of live podcasting from it. We're just going to be covering the event for the Fandemic Tour. And other than that, I don't have any other announcements other than that we will. We're working on getting some guests on the show. That's all I can say. I've have one booked actually already, but not announcing it yet. And we're going to be having some people on the show as we move forward on the Rebel Radio past episode 100. We told you we want to bring you more and bigger and better, and we're working on that. Please go to therebelradiopodcast.com. Check out the website for all your episodes. Hit the store, buy a t-shirt. That'd be cool. We'd appreciate it. We'd make a little money off of it to support the show. You can donate there on PayPal. And also make sure you go to our mblzmedia.com, where we are on Ironic Radio on Wednesdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Central, 3 to 5 Eastern, where you can hear a new episode the first hour and a classic episode the second hour. And Matt, you look like you had an announcement or something.
No.
Your mouth kept going.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell us Jackie was pregnant again or something.
No, he's pregnant.
I'm pregnant.
We hope that Arnold called and left me a voicemail, as you heard in the last episode. He was pissed off we hadn't done an Arnold movie in a while. So we put a Twitter poll, and y'all chose us to do The Running Man, and we're glad we can do it for y'all. And we hope Arnold's happy. I look forward to the next comics with Arnold, where I'm sure hopefully gives us a proper shout-out for doing one of his movies.
Yes, you know? He has to.
And but that's all I've got today, unless anyone else has got anything.
Nope.
As always, this is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Frank.
This is Brian.
Brian, thanks for coming and podding with us today. We appreciate it, and keep doing up all the good work with the 501st. And as always, remember this. Thanks for listening to Rebel Radio Podcast. Just go there and do it.
This is Chuck Huber. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. Stop being so awesome.
Sam Jones, Flash Gordon, and this is Rebel Radio Podcast.